DNA, black box recorders, they're clues to what happened in the past. But today, we have a clue about the future. Scott Guthrie posted information about Silverlight 2 on his blog. Some of it accidentally? And we're here to tell you what it means. And to follow up with Alice, our imaginary Silverlight 2 developer. Coming up in this episode of the Sparkling Client Podcast.
Hello, I'm Eric Mork.
And I'm Monica Mork. We're Silverlight consultants and software enthusiasts. Welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast, recorded March 1st, 2008. Sparkling Client is a podcast about Silverlight and other web client technologies. It's meant for developers and designers who are interested in making the next generation of great-looking web applications. Here's how it works. You give us 15 minutes of your time, and we give you the tools to build amazing web clients. For more information and show notes, see sparklingclient.com. Also, please consider leaving us feedback at the site. We're always looking at ways to make the show better. Warning, we're talking about software that is under development. What we talk about is based on what we think is likely to emerge from Microsoft over the next few months. The Sparkling Client Podcast is brought to you by Silver Bay Labs, the consulting company that Eric founded. If you have need of professional services for Silverlight, ASP.NET Ajax, or related technologies, visit us at silverbaylabs.org. Each week, we cover a specific set of questions. This week, we ask a new question. What may have accidentally been leaked on Scott's blog post? And we'll continue with the question from last week. What does a day in the life of a Silverlight 2 developer look like? Let's get started. Before we jump into Silverlight 2, Eric, can you tell us, what can someone who doesn't know what Silverlight 2 is do to find out more?
Well, if you don't know about Silverlight 2, find out about it. It is going to fundamentally change the web. It's this great technology that is a runtime that gets downloaded. I would say it's kind of like Flash on steroids and with muscle graphs or something. I mean, it's huge. It's amazing. It makes websites act immediately, and it makes them look great. If you want more information, we have a show on Silverlight 2, introducing Silverlight 2. You can find it at shrinkster.com/VI3, and it'll give you a nice introduction. Alternatively, you can go to the silverlight.net site, the official Silverlight site, and there's a lot of good information up there. Now, there's also information about Silverlight 1, which isn't quite as exciting, but as time goes on, there's going to be more and more information about Silverlight 2.
Thanks, Eric. Let's go on to our question. What may have accidentally been leaked on Scott's blog post?
Here's the deal. We're all waiting with bated breath to learn about Silverlight 2. Scott Guthrie, who's a vice president at Microsoft, has been releasing some information on his blog, and this time, he may have accidentally released a little too much. Here's what we mean. To follow along on this post, go to Scott Guthrie's blog at shrinkster.com/VI4VI4. That is the post that we're going to be talking about today. Now, first of all, the post is recommended, and it talks about using expression blend in Silverlight 2 scenarios, and it's worth reading entirely on its own. But the image we're focusing on is down the post a little ways, and we also have a link to that at shrinkster.com/VI5. It's a screenshot that Scott put in the blog post, and it's from Expression Blend, and it shows some interesting things.
Wow, it's a list of controls we can use in XAML.
Right, and he was showing you how you can find this dialogue and how you can use it in Expression Blend. Now, there are lots of controls that we would expect to find here. There's a canvas, for instance. There's a calendar. There's an ellipse. There's a grid. Those sorts of things. But if you look on the right-hand side, and about three down, you see a multi-scale image. And we're sitting here at Sparkling Client, and we're wondering, what exactly could a multi-scale image be? And how could it tie in to other Microsoft projects? Now, we don't know, and usually we avoid blatant speculation on this podcast, but this time, we're just a little bit too excited. Is it possible that this is a Sea Dragon control? Sea Dragon is a project at Microsoft Labs, and its Shrinkster address is shrinkster.com/VJ1,
shrinkster.com/VJ1. And a very brief overview of what Sea Dragon is that it is a tool for letting you scale JPEG images. So when you're browsing, there's the possibility that you could see an image and you would see it at one resolution. And the user would have the option of zooming in on that image to see more detail. And the information for that image, it would be downloaded from the server as it was necessary. And so you could save a lot of bandwidth and at the same time allow users to have these rich and detailed images inside of Silverlight.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Now it's time to revisit Alice, our imaginary Silverlight 2 developer from last week. Let's continue answering the question, what does a day in the life of a Silverlight 2 developer look like? When we left Alice last week, she was working on a DIG reader application. She had accessed the DIG REST API and had used Link2XML to fill out her objects. Now, how does she display these objects?
So what we're doing here is we're using Scott Guthrie's blog post. He has another preview blog post at shrinkster.com/V96. And what we're doing is we're taking his sample code for sample application and presenting it in a sort of scenario format, where Alice has a pointy-haired boss. The boss lays down the requirements of creating this DIG application reader. And so she's implementing it in Silverlight. So she's at the point of wanting to display her actual information. Now, originally, she considers using the data grid, because you can bind to a data grid. Not a bad choice. But she thinks about it for a while, and she decides on the main page, where she's going to be displaying the headlines, it should be a little more of a list. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so what she does is she creates a list box element, pretty simple. She specifies the binding, and all of a sudden, a list appears on her page. Now, it's not actually a useful list. It contains the type names of her type she created for the DIG headlines. So not super useful, but what she can do, and what she does do, is that inside the list box, she specifies a data template. This data template specifies how the data should be laid out in each list item. And so what she does is she creates a stack panel inside of the data template. And inside of the stack panel, she has two text blocks. One for the number of digs each story has received, and the other one for the headline. So that's pretty cool, and I think that that's going to be a very useful tool for us to use in the future. We have a list, you know, we have this sort of top level, we want a list of items, okay? So we specify there's going to be a list, and then inside of that list, we specify how the items should be laid out. And then inside, we specify the bindings there. So this very highly customizable way of doing things.
Okay, so what does Alice do next?
Okay, so her items are appearing. She has the number of digs, and she has the titles. But it's not super pretty, right? Now, if we were displaying this in HTML, we'd do what?
Well, we'd work on styling in CSS.
And that's right. And so Alice is going to do something similar, but in a very WPF sort of way. So here's what she's going to do. She is going to put style elements in her app.xaml file. So she's going to open her app.xaml file. This is a separate file, a global file for her Silverlight application. And she's going to put style elements in there. Now, these are like in CSS, so we can do the same sorts of things. We can set color. We can set the font, we can set the size and margins and those sorts of things. And then in the display elements themselves, they specify via a style attribute. They say which style should apply to them. So a very sort of reminiscent of HTML way of doing this styling. And that way we can apply styles across different elements. And we can also drop in new styles should we want to change the look and the feel of an application. So she prettys up her application and she has her list items appearing in a much improved visual sort of way.
Okay, so ultimately Alice gets a nicely formatted list of headlines. Let's say she finds a headline that interests her. How does she display the details of a DIG story?
And here we get into the user control story. And this is one of the great, great things about Silverlight. It lets us make user controls just about as easily as making anything else. And I really think that this is going to push Silverlight. Okay, so here's what she does. She goes to File, Add New Item, and that will add a XAML and CS file if you're using C# or a VB file or whatever if you're using another language. She opens this new XAML file. And she basically adds elements to the user control element. So she specifies how she wants to display. So in this case, she specifies how she wants the headline to appear, how she wants the detail to appear, etc. And she sets this up in a modal dialogue sort of way. She then specifies the binding for this user control, and she's done. She has this control. Ultimately, it's reusable. In this particular case, she's probably not going to share it across an application or something, but it is available to do so. And I think that's pretty cool. So there you have it. Now you can click on an item, and then it's displayed in this modal sort of dialog box in this user control. So it's not all the details. It's a little difficult to explain all of them in a podcast, but that's a general sort of idea. That's a general sort of flow.
Eric, you mentioned that this is difficult to explain on an audio podcast. Is the code available on Scott's blog also?
Well, I expect it will be shortly. At the time we're recording this, it isn't. We just have the screenshots. We just have that sort of information because Silverlight 2 is not publicly available. So I expect it will be posted pretty soon, but at the moment you can't get that source. And even if you could, you can't really do anything with it. We don't have the tools to open it and run it.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention about Alice's project?
Well, she's done. The whole thing has taken her maybe until 11:30. She has this functional application, exactly what her pointy-haired boss asked for. Now, should he come back and change requirements on her? She's very well prepared. She could do, for fun, and this is also included in Scott's blog post, she could move it to WPF. To do that, she starts a WPF project. She copies her XAML and CS files into the WPF project. She does a fix-up of a couple of XML namespaces. And she edits a couple of controls that aren't yet in WPF. And she's done. It's up and running as a desktop application in WPF. And I think that really shows the relationship between Windows Presentation Foundation, this great desktop technology, and Silverlight, which used to be known as WPF/E. WPF everywhere.
So, out of curiosity, how much code is in this application?
So she has 35 lines of C# code, not bad, and 75 lines of XAML markup, and the entire application is only a few KB in size.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great fit with the web. Very small, very compact, and yet very functional.
Thanks, Eric. That's all we have time for this week. Soon we're going to have even more information about Silverlight 2 from the MIX 08 conference. Join us as this new information becomes available. Thanks for listening to the Sparkling Client Podcast.